Good morning, friends. We're going to continue this morning with our theme of stories from the Bible. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. What a disastrous start that would be. You know, I think it was Robert Louis Stevenson who said, if all the people who fell asleep in church on Sunday during the sermon were laid end to end, they'd all be a great deal more comfortable. Sure, church is a place where people who are deeply troubled can find comfort, and that's wonderful. But it also ought to be a place where people who are very comfortable need to be troubled and challenged. And I think in the church in this country at the moment, we have a real need to challenge one another, to have the confidence and boldness to share our stories of faith, because that's what will impact a world. The power of story. The Bible's a wonderful book. Well, you know that, don't you? You don't need me to tell you that. Packed with stories. It starts in the beginning, and a wonderful story flows. And it ends, amen, come, Lord Jesus. And I, for one, I'm getting on now. Can't wait. And in between, there are hundreds upon hundreds of stories. And stories, you know, are really powerful. All stories are powerful. But the message I want you to hear this morning, listen up, please. From my heart, I'm asking you. Your story to the people you know is the most powerful story of all. But let me ask you, can you tell it? Are you ready to tell your story? Just going to give you a little time out now. No doubt most of you here have some vague grip of the Bible, and you've probably read a story or two, and you might even remember it, yeah? I want you to turn to the person next to you. You have 30 seconds to tell them a Bible story and the point of it. I'm timing you. It's starting now. Go. How about the one about...
No, you've got your microphone on.
Well remembered. Are you having fun? Okay, I'm sure you did brilliantly. I look forward to feedback from that. So sorry for those sad people sitting on their own. You know, we'll pray for you later. It's such a shame. Your story can make a difference. Why is your story so powerful to the people you know? First, they will be interested. Yes, your friends will be interested in your story. That's why you're friends. If no one's interested in your story, you haven't got any friends. Billy No Mates Corner, see me afterwards. Second, they'll be able to relate to your story. It's not something out of the blue, it's in context. They know you. People who used to know me before I came a Christian know my story, and they know the change in me. They know there's a lot more change needed in me too, but I've made a promising start in the last 12 years. And of course, your story is real. It's not theory, it's not theology. It's stuff that's actually happened. Am I right? Unless you have an economical way with the truth, It will be stuff that's happened to you. And people, you know, they can't argue with it. So your story will make a difference. It will give people fresh hope, and I believe it will give people a fresh challenge. The question is, we're going to look at a passage in the book of Acts this morning, Paul at work telling his story, but are you telling yours? Paul, you know, couldn't stop telling his story, whether he got beaten, flogged, or imprisoned. Anyone here last week? She was a moving lady, wasn't she? She came to faith from another faith. She was imprisoned for her faith, for trying to share her faith with others. And she was miraculously released. And what did she want to do? She wanted to go back and share her faith and be re-imprisoned. Yeah? Are you afraid to tell your story? I promise you this, you won't be imprisoned. You won't be flogged. You won't be tortured. Not here. So weigh that in the balance when you come to these little fears you have about telling your story. But let's have a quick look at Paul's story before we get into our text. Paul, Saul as he was before Christ, I love this text because Stephen, great name, the first Christian martyr. And here we have, you see him pointed out there, Saul was the coat holder for the stoning of Stephen. Yeah? Was Paul a bad man at that time? I don't think so. He was a wrong man. He held a very faulty set of beliefs about God that led to him taking part in the stoning of Stephen. His journey continues. On that road to Damascus moment, Paul meets the risen Christ. Saul becomes Paul. You could say, I see the light. Laugh there if you want. Or not. And this is Paul's continuing journey. After meeting Christ, we have BC, AD. AD, in Paul's case, altered destiny. He's no longer going to sit in a synagogue in Jerusalem, spouting wisdom. He's now going to go all over the known world, risking life and limb to share the gospel. You, on the other hand, need only worry about your friends, your neighbours, the people you work with, the people you drink with, the people you play sports with. That's how comparatively easy it is for you. No ship journeys out of Tarsus for you, just wandering around the streets of Worthing. 98% of people in Worthing don't know Jesus Christ, so there's no shortage of people for you to talk to and share your story with. Okay. If you're willing to tell your story, there may be trouble ahead. Shall I sing that? No. I'll take that as a no. Shall I, Kev? You didn't? Okay. There may be trouble ahead. There was for Paul. And here he is at the beginning of this story I'm going to share with you. In prison, he's awaiting transport to Rome. He's appealed for a trial before Caesar that he suspects, and we know with the benefit of hindsight, does not end well. But there he is in Caesarea, rotting in the jail for a few years. And the Roman governor asked the local puppet king of Judah, Agrippa, come along, you'll be interested. Hear this guy's story. And this is what we're going to look at this morning in Acts chapter 26. Paul starts before Christ. Agrippa says to him, Paul, go ahead, tell us about yourself. Paul takes the stand. I like that phrase, take the stand. It implies witnessing, doesn't it? It implies sharing a testimony. Paul took the stand. From my youth, he says, I lived as a strict Pharisee, the most demanding branch of our Jewish religion. I thought it my duty to oppose this Jesus of Nazareth with all my might. I became a one-man terror, obsessed with obliterating these people, that's Christ followers, from Jerusalem. And not content with that, I started out to the towns outlying Jerusalem. Let's pause there, before Christ. Paul was, if you like, living a self-improvement program. He was going to get in right with God by obeying lots of laws and regulations. He knew them all. He was an expert, and he was thought to be amongst the most devout there. He was on a self-improvement program to draw closer to God and earn his favor. Does that ring a bell with you? You would say, no, not at all. I have been set free by grace. My salvation is a gift from Christ. Just ask yourself, though, are there still bits of the self-improvement program in you? Working harder, trying to look better, sound more knowledgeable. I don't know what it is, but a lot of us are still involved in this self-improvement program. I urge you to let it go, because when you come to share your story, people don't need to see how well you're doing for yourself. That doesn't inspire any confidence in the risen Christ. What they need to see is your dependence on him. Paul goes on, then I met Christ. One day on my way to Damascus, a blaze of light outshining the sun poured out of the sky on me and my companions. We all fell flat on our faces, and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? I asked, who are you, master? And the voice answered, I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down like an animal. This is the Message modern translation, for those who don't recognize the words. But it's quite powerful, isn't it? That was Paul's commitment to obliterating Christ followers. Jesus continued, speaking to Paul, on your feet, I have a job for you. I'm sending you to open the eyes of outsiders so they can see the difference between God and Satan and choose God. Can you remember the moment when you first met the risen Christ? I have a little altar to it in my house, yeah? Oddly enough, it stands next to a bottle of Vinsanto and reminds me of some very unpleasant things that went before. I don't know what yours are, yours might be, but I'm telling you, think about that. When did you meet Christ? What was the impact on you, right? Could it be said of you that you became on fire to share this good news with others? I pray that we may get there soon. Paul carries on. What could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from that. I became an obedient believer on the spot. I started telling everyone of this amazing life change, this radical turn to God. Right there in Damascus, then to Jerusalem, and from there to the whole world. There's an interesting sequence there. If you get a chance, have a look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It gives you a kind of sequence about sharing your story, and it suggests you start in Jerusalem, that being where this story is based, and it's your local place. Start with the people you know. We have a heart as a church. I'm so thankful for it, for the wider world. We've heard this morning of Egypt, and that's great. Some people are called to go to Egypt. A lot of people are called to support the work of the Coptic church in Egypt. But we're called, a lot of us here, primarily to reach those people right on our doorstep. Don't forget, the UK is getting on for the number one heathen country in the globe, where you're allowed to choose faith. We have the lowest participation rate going. There's lots of work for us to do here in our town, in our Jerusalem. Paul winds up to end his story. Clever this, because sometimes you tell people stories and you think, I wonder, were they interested in that? Did they get it? Did I hit home? Paul goes on and he kind of challenges Agrippa in a moderately facetious way, but I think quite powerful, and Agrippa responds. Paul stood his ground, and he points at Agrippa. He says, the king knows what I'm talking about. You believe the prophets. The Old Testament scriptures foretold of Jesus' coming, his death and resurrection. Agrippa knew all that. Paul says to him, you believe the prophets, don't you, King Agrippa? In other words, saying, you know what I'm saying is true, mate, don't you? Agrippa answered, keep this up much longer, Paul, and you'll make a Christian out of me. He's joking. And other translations of the text say, are you trying to make me a Christian, Paul, in a very dismissive way? But Paul's asked him, you know what I'm saying is true, Agrippa. What do you make of it? Yeah? He's looking for a response. Paul, still in chains, answers Agrippa. That's what I'm praying for you and everyone. Everyone listening, to become like me, a free man. Except, of course, for this prison jewelry, the chains he was wearing. I look around, I can see you're gripped by this tale. Do you ever read passages in the Bible and you think, I wonder what that's there for? Do you? I'm no great theologian, I think that a lot. Sometimes I think, oh, so what? And here I've got this long story about Paul, and I'm thinking, well, what's that there for then? What's the point of this story being in the Bible? I already know Paul can preach. Paul could preach the hind legs off a, you know, Paul can preach, I know that. And I know this particular story is a nil-impact story. I know he's appealed already to Caesar to be tried in Rome. And I know that whatever he says to Festus and Felix and King Agrippa will make no difference whatsoever. To Rome he said he wanted to go. To Rome he's going. And before Caesar he will end up, and he will soon be headless. So what difference? Why is he telling this story? Why is it there? And I want to share some thoughts I've had with you. I'm not saying these are wisdom. Take them, dwell on them, think about them. But could it be there to maybe indicate to you how you could tell your story? Paul's story is very powerful. Your story is very powerful to those people who know you. But can you tell it? We read in 1 Peter, always be prepared to give a reason to anyone who asks for the hope that you have within you. But do so with gentleness and respect. Look in your heart. Are you prepared? Are you ready to share your story about the hope you have within you? Some very quick tips before we get into some deeper meat. Notice that text ends with gentleness and respect. You know, sometimes, I think you do know this, I try and encourage people to share their faith. I'm keen on it. I want people to do it. I believe God wants you to do it. I believe that with all my heart. But sometimes people say to me, you don't get it, Steve, do you? You're a bubbly sort of guy, and maybe you've got a bit of a gift and that. You know, me, I'm shy. Me, I'm sort of very reserved and quiet and all the rest of it. He said, and you want me to go and knock on doors? Let me tell you now, no, I don't. Please, if you're going around knocking on doors, stop. It went out with the ark. People do not say, oh, how wonderful, come in. Got the kettle on. They don't. Do I want you to wander around the town with a sad face, thrusting flyers into people's hands? No, I don't. Do I want you to get a bullhorn? Turn or burn? No, I don't. God never asked you to do any of that. God's given you a story. He's made you to be you. All he says is, be willing to share your story. Do it with gentleness and respect. If you're this pushy, arrogant guy, you may win an argument, but you'll lose the person. I've seen it time and time again on alpha courses where one or two of our helpers have got overly enthusiastic. And the seekers on the course have raised the question, and they leap in, oh, you're dead wrong. You've got no idea how much archaeological evidence there is for the walls of Jericho falling down. And the person goes, oh, all right then. And they switch off. They don't want to know anymore. You won the argument, you lost the person. Gentleness and respect. Also, tip for me here too, you might be thinking, be brief. I'll speed up in a minute, I promise. Paul's story to Agrippa took 4 minutes. I timed it. Beginning to end, not just the bit I read out, took 4 minutes. Not 40 minutes. When friends say, why are you a believer? You don't get out reams of foolscap and start talking them through it. You know, half an hour later, you're still at that early stage in your life. No, 4 minutes. Less, maybe. Some other story tips. When you're sharing your story with people, listen to their situation and look for common ground. Dare I say it, be relevant. Paul, speaking to Agrippa, looks for common ground. He says, you, King Agrippa, you know what the prophets foretold, don't you? You're a Jew, for heaven's sake. You know all this. Come on, let's cut to the chase. Is this true or not? What do you think? Stump it up. Yeah? And Paul emphasizes this in a letter he wrote to a church in Corinth. I like this. I really do. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I became a Jew. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. To the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people, so that all, by all possible means, I may save some. Yeah? Paul was looking always for common ground with people. And when you're sharing your story, start with being a good listener. Listen for some common ground. Try and tap into it. But here's the real concluding thrust of this message, a key, I believe, to effective storytelling. I believe this is why this passage is in the Bible. It is that Paul's saying to us, you're a bit hesitant about sharing your story, aren't you? You're not quite sure where to start, and what to say, and where to end. He said, I'll give you a template, and you can practice it. And here it is. A three-part template. What I was like before I met Christ, how I met Christ, and the difference now. You all know me. I'm not a very gifted guy, and I'm actually quite shy and reserved by nature, but I've forced myself on a bit. But I have had so much evangelistic fruit. I've seen so much evangelistic fruit that God has reaped just through simply sharing my story with folks about what I used to be like before I met Christ, how I met him, and the difference since. People can't argue with it. They can't deny it. They can see it's true. I urge this model. I commend it to you. And I just wonder, you might be thinking, oh, it's all theories. Let me give you some examples. And if you forgive me, I've only got my own life to talk about, really. I could talk about a few of you, but that wouldn't be quite appropriate, would it? You might not. No, I'll talk about me. What about money? Is the world interested in money? Anyone awake out there? Yes. Is the world interested in money? Yes, there's a bit, I think. You might notice that. What about money? Well, I can tell you, before I met Christ, I was addicted to money. I had lots of it. I had several million quid. And I was getting more. And I'm telling you, it never did a lot for me. I was with Howard Hughes, the billionaire, on this. When asked how much is enough money, I would always reply, a little bit more. It didn't do anything for me. I came to Christ, and I realized straight away it wasn't my money, it was his. Every last farthing had not been earned by me, but given to me by him. And I set about getting rid of it. For those of you looking optimistic, you're too late. I can no longer afford to live in the house I live in. Never mind, give you a handout. No worries. Great. Never been happier. Never felt more right. Never felt more complete. Money. A false god, if ever there was one. Sure, It must be rough to be right on the poverty line. I understand that. And isn't it a tragedy in this country that we allow that? We see today on the news record numbers of working people turning up at the food bank. It's incredible. So what do? We cut benefits more. What a society. You can break the stranglehold of money. And when you share with others that you've done that, they'll be impressed. They will. What about worry and fear? Well, I was at pretty near the top of my tree management consultancy. But you know, there was an old motto we had, which was you can go from hero to zero overnight. And all you had to have was one project that you were managing go disastrously wrong. And people would wash their hands of you. And I lived in fear that I would suddenly foul up big time. Actually, the truth of the matter is I had often fouled up big time. I'd just never been discovered. But I lived in fear that I might be caught out. And maybe you've got stuff in your life. You think, I hope no one, if people knew that about me, they wouldn't like me, they wouldn't love me. Well, I'm telling you, when I met Christ, fear and worry evaporated. They try and return all the time. They're one of the chief tools that the devil uses to weaken you as a Christian. But they evaporated. I don't worry about stuff anymore. I pray instead. You can't do both. You've got a choice. I pray instead. I believe Philippians, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I have a guarded heart. I don't worry anymore. Sadly, I have a lot of other character flaws. Some of you know those. But worry is no longer one of them. Wonderful. The United Kingdom's addicted to worry. People don't like it. They want to be set free. Tell them you've been set free. What a story. Success before and after Christ. My success was gauged by my per diem rate, how much I could screw out of clients, which was an awful lot, by the number of days paid work I got, and by the trappings that I evidenced around me, the flash motors and expensive meals and that sort of stuff. Be honest with me, look at me now. That's pathetic, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it pathetic? Look at me, look at my car. Oh, grief. Pathetic. Free of all that nonsense now. And I tell people that. And people say to me, why'd you drive this? It's not that old a car, in fairness. And now it's got leather seats. I go off at tangents, have you noticed? I'm ever so sorry. Not interested in stuff. A to B will do me. And freedom. I thought freedom was the ability to do whatever I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. That was freedom. I have found since I met Christ that that is counterfeit freedom. And true freedom is within a set of guidelines that a God who loves me and has the very best possible plan for my life. Within that set of guidelines, I can be totally free. I'm working for an audience of one. It's fantastic. Share that with people. Your story. Let's finish where we started. Storytelling in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, interestingly enough, is about Acts. A statement of the obvious, isn't it? Well, it's about people who did stuff. I like that, the Acts of the Apostles. I'm so pleased it's not the words of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Apostles. Great. Here we have a few. Chapter 4, Peter and John replied, As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. Is that you? You cannot help speaking. Chapter 5, the Apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Nutters. They've just been flogged. And they're saying, fantastic, just been flogged for Christ. Wonderful. Yeah. Day after day, they never stopped proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Stephen, my namesake, full of the Holy Spirit, starts to talk. Proclamation, proclamation, proclamation. Philip the evangelist began with that very passage of Scripture and told the Ethiopian eunuch, the good news about Jesus. We get to chapter 9, Paul gets on the scene. Well, you know Paul can preach. These people could not stop telling their stories. They were not exceptional people. They were the rule. It was the rule. New Testament believers told their stories. So, I started off saying maybe I wanted to challenge you a bit. I notice after this I find pictures of me taken out of people's wallets and ripped up. I'm not sure people want to be challenged. But there we are. Paul writes to a church in Colossae, pray. Pray for us that God may open a door for our message and that we may make the most of every opportunity. Can I ask you? I'm not trying to put any trip on you here. Just look in your own heart. Do you want to tell your story? Are you able to tell your story? Are you ready to tell your story? Well, go. Go and tell it. Pray for opportunities to share. Prepare your message. Pray for confidence and boldness. Not arrogance and forcefulness. Gentleness and respect too. But pray for the confidence and boldness. And why not start now? One of the things that really attracted me to this church was in its vision. I often think churches with vision statements are interesting because you often see them on the wall and you can do a little test of people and say, do you know what our vision statement says? And you'd be surprised sometimes, not always encouragingly, that people don't necessarily do it. But this caught my eye very much. It said, Maybridge Community Church, a church where the love of Jesus is confidently proclaimed. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm going to carry on sharing it to my dying breath. And I hope in a way I can raise your confidence and your desire to do the same. Shall we just bow our heads for a minute and pray? Loving Father, thank you, firstly, for the lengths you went to speak into my life. You had to shout and rant and rage to get my attention. And thank you, too, for the price you paid your son to bring the gospel to me. And I know, Father, how passionate you are that those who are not yet in your family should hear this gospel. And that you want me, yes, ordinary little me, to be your witness. Father, I want to start with an apology. I am truly sorry for the times, and I've been too timid, too afraid to share this gospel with others, to share this amazingly good news of the difference Christ has made in my life. And I'm sorry too, Lord, that I haven't always put in the effort necessary to prepare my story, to think through in advance. I'm meeting someone, perhaps I could put my story this way in a couple of minutes and put some seed down for them. And I'm praying now, Lord, with all my heart, bring me more opportunities to share my story with those who don't yet know you. Give me the boldness to speak, the wisdom to know what to say, and the grace to do this with your love. Let me play, I pray, Lord, a full part in your great commission, that all should hear the good news of Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. The band are coming up to...